And now my 12-year-old, my soon-to-be 12-year-old daughter Isabel had just stayed the night last night at Camp Fresmont out of Piedmont Lake. She got there yesterday at 11 o'clock and we dropped her off and we picked her up today at 1 o'clock. Now, I don't know what concerned me more as a dad, dropping her off for the night because we just are so protective of her just because of the challenges going on in her life. The only reason I can share this example with you right now is because she's not here, otherwise she can give me what for right now. And so, mom and dad kind of claim a little bit extra to her, and so she's out there right now. She went out for a junior high retreat. And so, yesterday we dropped her off. I don't know if I'm more concerned about missing her or the fact that she said, hey guys, get out of here, my friends are here. And we dropped her off at 11 o'clock yesterday. So, we spent 11 years of her life nurturing her, coddling her, and comforting her, and caring for her challenges, and going to the hospital together, back and forth, and all of these things. And now she's going. She's taking that Spirit of God that lives in her, that's been developed in her, this light that she carries, this work of God in Jesus Christ in her life, and now she is going. She's going out into the world. She's going out into the real world. And so that's a lot like what we have in our lives here as Christ followers here in the local churches. We hang out in this home, this spiritual home, this place of God, this house of God. We get together and we nurture one another. We cry together and we laugh together. We do ministry together. We do His work together. And then God sends us out to take the light of Jesus out into the world and let our light shine, to let our work shine, to go and be God's people. We are called to go out into this world, to be the hands and feet of God. And that's where we are today. You see, our whole life is about God's journey for us. Our whole life is about growing into the next step that God has called us to take. And today we're talking about being God's hands and God's feet. I love this verse in Philippians, in the Bible, in chapter 1, verse 6. And there's amazing stuff in the Bible. You ought to read it sometime. I mean, there's some really cool stuff in there. And Paul writes this. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God is never done growing you. God is never done sending you. God is never done connecting you. God is never done inviting you to come to Him. It's a lifelong process, and it's a work that began when Jesus came into your life, and it's a work that He wants to continue until what? Until completion. What could that mean? Well, that could mean what John Wesley, one of the founding church fathers of United Methodism, talked about. He talked about this idea that we can spend every day of our life shedding more and more of our sin to God and taking on more and more of His grace and holiness every single day of our life, so that by the end of it, he used the term, we could be entirely sanctified, so that we could be entirely without sin because we've given it to God so much so, and we've taken on so much of His character into our life, that someday we can move on to this moment of completion. Billy Graham is probably a guy like that. You know, Mother Teresa would be a woman like that, that for all of their life, they've worked to give their sin to God and to take on His character and His holiness. And it says, until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, what do you think the day of Christ Jesus is? What do you think the day of Christ Jesus is? Until His return. I've got good news for you. Maranatha. Maranatha to you. Maranatha to you. You know what Maranatha means? It means He's coming back. He's coming back. It's a greeting from 2,000 years ago. Maranatha. It means He's coming back. You live with this amazing anticipation that God is coming back. And that is good for those of us that have been paying attention to what's going to go down in December, in November, the second Tuesday of the month. Because, you know, the good news is that no matter what candidate is elected, Jesus is coming back and Jesus still sits on the throne. Amen. Praise be to God. And so, by the way, in November, I decided that, listen, you know, half the population that wakes up on Wednesday morning is going to think that the world is falling apart. So why don't they just think it's the end? So let's talk about the end. We're going to talk about some end times prophecies during the month of November, and it's going to be called the end. We're going to take a look at the book of Revelation. We're going to look at our end times prophecies. We're going to talk about, you know, Jesus is coming back, His second coming, and all of those pieces, because we need to be reminded and encouraged that it's Maranatha. Jesus is coming back, and until then, God has a work that He wants to work to completion in your life. In your life. And so, Jesus died to save us from our sins. So God did a work for you on the cross. God has given us the Holy Spirit of God to come and to fill us, and so He's doing a work in you. And God wants to send you out in His name to do His work through you. That's the God that we experience in our life. God did a work for you to do a work in you to do His work through you. That's who we have. That's the call of God. That's the journey that we are on. It's His amazing plan for you and me. And so He died on the cross. He's raised from the dead. We invite Him into our life. His Holy Spirit is downloaded into us so that we can serve others in His name. That's His amazing plan. You see, it's our works that do not save us, but it's God's grace that saves us. We don't serve to be saved. We serve because we've been saved. We serve because of the love of God. Watch what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Paul writes these words, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God prepared in advance for us to do. And so the good news of Jesus Christ moves us to go. The fact that we're saved, the fact that God loves us, the fact that we can have a personal relationship with Him, it moves in our spirit for us to go, to realize that we're saved because of His work, not because of our work, but we're saved by His work to have His work be done through us to the rest of the world, to go and to make a difference and to bless people. And that's why He's equipped us with time and talents. That's why He's equipped us with treasures and resources in our life so that we can be a blessing to other people. You see, you've been gifted by God. You've been gifted by God with a unique skill set, a unique set of skills and a personality, a unique set of spiritual gifts that God has downloaded into you. And everything that's happened in your life, everything that you've been created to be up until this moment has been done so for God's amazing purposes, to do His work and His will. God has purposed you to be loved by Him. God has purposed you to love Him back. God has purposed you to live in His amazing plan of serving in His holy name. Now, here's the amazing thing about this. God could do this on His own. God doesn't need your help. God wants your help. God doesn't need you to serve. He wants you to serve. God wants to do this together with you. What an amazing gift. What an amazing, amazing blessing. You see, God reminds us on this day that when He came to this earth, He came to do a work with us and through us. I was thinking back to our corn stand back in August at the Muskingum County Fairgrounds, and the Holy Plains Corn Stand is a blast, and I love to serve there, and I love to serve with people, and I could show up by myself, but I love to bring my family along with me. I love to bring the kids, Austin and Tana, and then Isabel and Elizabeth, and it's amazing to kind of watch them grow up, and it's amazing to watch their confidence grow as they help out people at the window, and as they're slinging chicken sandwiches and slinging sloppy joe and slinging corn cob here and there, and every once in a while having to work through an ordered customer. Now, that's not a view here. I'm talking about other people that show up to the corn stand. The good news is that they're far and few between. People are blessed, but it's just amazing to do that work with them. I could do it on my own as a dad, but it's an amazing thing to be able to invite them to come with me to share in that work of ministry together, to share in that serving together. And as a dad, I'm so blessed to do that side by side with them. I could do it on my own, but to do it together, there's so much joy, there's so much pride, there's so much power, there's so much community in that. And that's exactly what God wants for us here on this earth. God wants us to, He wants to do it side by side with us. He wants to share this great work of the kingdom of God here on heaven, from heaven here on earth. And He wants to do that through you and through me so that God is blessed when we serve. He wants to use you as a delivery system of His grace. He wants to use you as a delivery system of His love. He wants to use you as a delivery system of His great joy. You are a conduit of God's presence and His power to the people of this earth and this world. If you know Jesus Christ, you have been set up to bless people. You have set up to bless people. And God is blessing you in your life so that you can be a blessing to others. So God is calling us to go in the holy name of God and Jesus Christ. Not in our own names, but in the name above all names. And you know, see, we don't have to make a name for ourselves because the name above all names has given us our name. Amen? The name above all names calls you out, and He names you, and He calls you by name, and He sets you apart, and He's empowered you with His name, the name of Jesus Christ, and the power of God, and He anoints you, and He empowers you with His great power. He anoints your words, He anoints your deeds to go out in His name. That's why in our mission statement, it's called Come, Connect, Grow, and go in the name of Christ out into the world. Not go in the name of whoever your name is, but to go out in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. So how are we to go? How are we to go? Well, it's back to the Great Commission here in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. The verses read like this in the Bible. Jesus says, Then Jesus said to them all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, this is called the Great Commission. God commissions us, He empowers us to go. To go in whose power and Spirit? To go on our own? No, to go in God's. To go in the name of Jesus Christ. To go and to make disciples. What does it mean to make disciples? It means to go and to help Christ followers be nurtured and to be able to grow. It means to enjoy this journey, this pathway, to come alongside of people and invite them to this pathway of coming, connecting, growing, and going. That's what it looks like to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, I believe in a lot of churches, while we call this the Great Commission, by our actions, it might be the Great Omission. It might be the Great Omission, because when it comes to talking about our faith, when it comes to sharing Christ and sharing God with other people, it might be a challenging experience to be able to think about God using us to do those things. So when you go to bless people, you do so in the power and the authority of heaven here on earth. And so here's three things, three ways of what we do when we go. Three ways that we go. First of all, when we go and tell. We go and tell. If we're going to go in the name of Jesus Christ, He's going to empower us to go and tell. Oh, by the way, did you know that in the United Methodist Church, our denomination as a whole, our mission statement is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's what we're called to. And so how do we do that? We do that one of three ways. We go and we tell. When you go, you use your words. You use your voices. You use your tongues and you speak. And if you're unable to speak, you use your hands and you use sign language, you use your fingers, but you go and you tell. You go and you project the message of a loving God. You go and tell about the good news of Jesus Christ, that He's died on the cross, that He's been raised from the dead to cover over our sins and our brokenness. You go and remind people that we're in desperate need of a Savior and people will nod their heads. You go and remind people that we don't have to do life on our own, but that God and Jesus Christ comes alongside of us. And He wants to come into our life and guide us and lead us. And He wants our sin. And He wants to give us His holiness. And He wants to make all things new in our life. You go and share about your struggles. You tell people about your trials. And you talk about the very real way that God is impacting your life in amazing ways. And you talk about Jesus. And you invite people to understand His peace. You talk about the Savior of all joy. You talk about Jesus Christ and His unconditional love. And so you go and you tell. You go and you talk about your faith. You know, Billy Graham will talk about this idea that every single one of us is probably comfortable talking to our friends about our greatest sports hero that's out there. Every single one of us is comfortable talking to our family about our favorite star actor. But when it comes to talking about the greatest person that's ever walked this earth, and by the way, who's fully God and fully human in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we get shy. All of a sudden we pull back. All of a sudden we say, well gosh, everybody in the room kind of scatters. And when it comes to Christians, because we're just not comfortable having that conversation. Why is the Savior of the world and invoking the name of Jesus Christ so intimidating to us as Christ followers? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Man, what a great statement and word from God on what it means to just simply go and tell. Take every opportunity to be prepared to give a reason verbally for the hope that you have. You see, our conversations are born out of our story. That's how we go and tell. That's how we go and talk. That's how we talk about our faith with people. You say, I don't know how to talk about my faith. You say, I didn't go to seminary. I don't know the Bible frontwards and backwards. I don't either. I don't have the Bible memorized frontwards and backwards. But what I do have is what you have. I have a story. You have a story. So you go and you tell your story. You talk about how you once were lost and now you are found. You see, if you ever get lost in your story, our stories are all the same for those of us that found Jesus Christ in our life. I was once lost and now I'm found. And you just tell the story. You tell the story of your struggles. You tell the story of your trials. You tell the story of your addiction or whatever hurt you've been able to be rescued up out of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you talk about how God has redeemed you, how He's made you new, how He's come into your life and what that's done. You talk about how He's blessed you. You talk about how He's given you joy in the middle of trials and challenges. And you share authentically your story, because here's the amazing thing about your story. Number one, it's your story. And you can never get your story wrong. You can never get your story wrong. It's your story. So go and tell your story of how God and Jesus Christ has rescued you. Secondly, because it's your story, nobody can ever discount it. Nobody can say, Jesus, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. You say, no. it's happened to me. This is what's happened in my life. And I've had a personal encounter with God. And he's changed my life forever. Look at the results. And they're like, yeah, you're right. Man, you've changed a lot. Holy cow. It's your story. So go and tell your story. And even then you think, maybe I'm intimidated to tell my story. Well, tell your story. If you can't tell your story, just do this in both cases. You invite them. You invite people to come. You invite people to come to church. You invite them to come to the concert. You invite them to come to the retreat. You invite them to come out after the homecoming games. You invite them to come to the overnighter with the youth. You invite them to come to End Zone. You invite them to come to your house. You invite them to come to Bible study. You invite them to come and go and serve with you. To go to Bethel Community Center. You invite people to come with you, which means we go right back to the beginning of the journey, right? Come, connect, grow, and go. Did you know that our mission statement is a personal invitation to each and every person that reads it, that understands who we are? Come with us. Come to Jesus. Come be a part of our church. Come be a part of this family and this body. Connect, grow, and go. So we go and tell, but we also need to go and show. Go and show by the way that we treat people. Go and show by the way that we live. Go and show by living with integrity, by refusing to gossip, to go and to show and be honorable in the way that we handle our business dealings. When we live in a business world where people are just out to bend any rules so that we can achieve a benefit from it, so that we live with integrity. Go and show how we are to live. You choose to live with integrity, and you choose to love people that are right in front of you. You choose to forgive people when most of the world would say, hey, listen, you deserve to be angry at them. You deserve to be bitter. You deserve not to talk to them anymore. You deserve to gossip about them. And you say, no, I'm not going to do any of those things. And you show people the love of Jesus Christ by the way that you live. You go by showing. When in the middle of the storm of life and you're challenged and you feel like you might be drowning, yet you still have this peace. You still have this joy. You still have this trust. And people want to know, what are you doing? What are you on? What's going on in your life? What's changed? How in the world are you able to live like this under the circumstances? I mean, under the circumstances, you should, throw yourself down. You should be wallowing in your own misery. And your reminder to yourself is, when I'm in Jesus Christ, since when do I live under the circumstances? In the power of Jesus Christ, we live and can rise above any circumstance. Because our Lord and Savior overcame the greatest challenging circumstance of all time. He was raised from the dead and is alive and well. And so we go and show by the way that we live. We do something wrong, we offer forgiveness. Someone does something wrong to us, we offer a blessing of forgiveness to them. We don't hold on to grudges. We learn to live modestly. We learn to live modestly and work and get ourselves out of debt. Why? So that we can be a giver and so that we can give back to God. If you want to blow your friends away and show them the love of Jesus Christ when they ask you, why are you keeping that car around? Or why are you keeping this around or that around it? You say, well, I'm just choosing to live a different lifestyle right now. And by the way, we've been blessed because we're out of debt. And because we're out of debt, we're able to be givers. And I found the greatest joy of my entire life in being able to be a giver. Listen, you want to show your friends something different? You just tell them, I enjoy being a giver. And yet, this is the look that you're going to get from them. What? You mean you enjoy giving that grace stuff that you go to work for and giving it back to God and giving it away? And you say, yes, it's the greatest joy I've ever had in my whole life. You've got to try it. And they're saying, you're crazy. What's happened? Then you get to go and tell. See, if you go and show, you get a chance to go and tell. And if you go and tell, maybe you get the chance to go and show. But you also need to go and share. You see, we go and tell, we go and show, and we go and share. See, when you go and show, you show people who you are. You've got to be careful, by the way, before we get to go and share. But when we go and show, we've got to be careful how we present ourselves on places like social media. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, all those places. Because I know it's so easy for me to get passionate about something, and I'll throw it out there. And I do good about 10 times out of 11, but every once in a while I'll put a post out there, and I'm thinking, man, How does that show myself to the rest of the world? How does that show myself to the church? How does that show myself to my friends and family? And so we've got to be careful because a lot of us, we get on social media and we're telling somebody off in the middle of our post. We're going this and that, and you are this and that, and the heck with you, and this, and just all this nonsense. Or we're treating people like they're not allowed to have a different opinion, and if they don't, then they're dirt, and all these pieces. And so we have to be careful that when we go and show, that people in this world are paying attention to everything we do and everything we don't do and everything we say and everything we don't say. I tell that to parents all the time with their kids. They listen to everything you say and don't say, and they watch everything you do and don't do. It's the same thing when it comes to calling yourself a Christ follower. When you call yourself a Christ follower, the world is paying attention. And the number one challenge for most people in the world about Christ followers in the local church is that we're all what? We're all hypocrites. Now, when that conversation happens, I just invite that person to come join us and add one more to the group. Because we're all hypocrites. I mean, we're all struggling. We all have challenges. We've all had trials. But we have got to be careful about how we show ourselves to the rest of the world. So we go and tell, and we go and show. And third of all, we go and share. We finally go and share. You love on people with your hands and feet. You meet people's practical needs, which, by the way, is one of our core values on these banners, is practical service. Meeting people's practical needs by serving practically in everyday life. You become Jesus with skin on. You become his hands and feet. You become God manifested in front of people's eyes. And I've been told before that oftentimes for some people, you might be the only Jesus someone sees. You might be the only Jesus that somebody ever encounters. And so we go and we serve people in the name of Jesus. Well, how can we do that? Well, you do it in practical ways. You meet practical needs. If somebody's struggling and they need to get from point A to point B and they don't have enough for gas, maybe you stop and you fill up their gas tank. Maybe you let somebody in front of you at the counter before you go and check out at the grocery store. You let them step in front of you because they're in a hurry. Maybe you just know somebody's lying. You do all these things in the name of Jesus. You just say, hey, I just wanted you to know that God loves you and Jesus loves you after they say thanks to you. Maybe they don't say thanks. You just say, hey, listen, Jesus loves you. You go and you serve a meal to somebody and you say, hey, Jesus loves you. You go and help them fix their car. Hey, just want you to know that Jesus loves you. You know, you help them when they're snowed in and you help shovel their driveway. And you say, I just wanted to let you know that Jesus loves you. Maybe you needed the leaves raked and you go and rake their leaves and you just say, hey, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. Or you go and stay in their deck. You meet people's practical everyday needs and you go out in the name of Jesus by saying to them, I just wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you. You go out and you help the addicted. You go out and help the hungry and the orphan and the homeless and the poor, and you serve them with your time, talents, resources, and treasures. Now, I know that we get this when it comes to our own households. We get this idea of serving people. We get this idea of looking at our own needs whenever we have guests over to our households. We do a fun job in our household of having people over. When we have people over, you know, you kind of tidy things up. You prepare the meal. You set the table, and then you sit down with your guests, and you make sure that they get served first, and you make sure that they have all their play settings, and you know, every once in a while I'll sit down, I'll look there, and I'll wonder where, you know, my glass of water is. And if I were at that moment to look up to my wife Karen and say, hey, honey, where's my glass of water? She would have a response for me. Yeah. And that response would go something like this. Hey, listen, we've been living in this house together for 3.5 years. We've been married for 20. You know where we keep the glasses, you know where the ice is, you know where the water is. I need your help. Go up there and help yourself. You've been here long enough to not have me serve you, but for you to be a servant. For you to serve yourself and to serve all these other guests, but to serve your other guests first and to make sure that they're cared for. They don't worry about kind of what our needs are. And I kind of equate that to the house of God. You know, I think a lot of us, we've been here long enough and we start to realize that it's not about us anymore. It's about those yet to come. It's about reaching out. It's about going out into the mission field. It's about blessing people and helping those yet to come any way that we can. And that God has us here to not only be fed and to not only have our needs met, but to realize that he's equipped us to come, connect, grow, and have to go. To go and to be a servant, to go and to put other needs beyond our own. And so that's why we take the furthest parking spots away from the church. And we let other people that are newer to the church take the ones that are closest. And we start to get this mindset and we realize, hey, I'm not just here to be served. I'm here and I'm being called to be God's servant to God's people. So we go and we share. So how long have we been coming? How long have we been coming to Rolling Plains and checking things out? If you're here for the first time or you're a returning guest or you've just been in a season where you just need to sit back and allow God to just speak to your spirit, that's fine. But at some point in time, we've all been here long enough to realize that God has something for us to do, for us to step up and serve together, for us to get involved and to serve our guests and to serve people that are coming here, just to serve our fellow Christ followers or help people find Jesus. How do we do that? Well, we can serve one another by working in children's ministry and leading a class. We can greet at the door. We can visit at the hospital. We can organize a mission outing. We can prepare meals for God's body. We can make coffee for people that are coming to church. We can work with computers or work with our great media team and help with the soundboard or whatever it might be. We could come alongside our facilities team and help prepare the facility or do some upgrades with our facility. We can teach in a class. We can lead a life group. We can open up our homes. There are just all kinds of ways that we can go within the body of Christ and we can serve right here. And so we go and we share in the work of God as the hands and feet of the body of Christ. So where do we go? Where do we go? Now we don't just serve inside the church, but God calls us to go beyond the walls. And when I say beyond the walls, I mean to go out into this world and to share his love and his power and his work with everyone in the church and beyond the walls of this church. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, God tells us where we're to go. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Whose name and whose power and whose authority are we under? Our own? No, the power of God and the Holy Spirit. The power of God and the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God is poising us for an awakening here in our church. I believe as we look out in our world today, we believe that the world needs an awakening. Amen? We look at our nation today, we believe our nation needs an awakening. If we want our world to have an awakening, then our nation needs to have an awakening. If our nation wants to have an awakening, then our churches need to have an awakening. If our churches are going to have an awakening, then individual Christ followers need to experience an awakening of the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. To confess to God our sins and our trials and our challenges and say, come Holy Spirit, wake me up. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. And Christ's light will shine on you. And when we have an awakening, Christ's light shining on us, guess what happens when we go out into the world? Our light shines. And we show. We go and tell. We go and show. And we go and we share. So when the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, go to Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the ends of the earth. Now, why do we mention Jerusalem? Well, over 2,000 years ago, Jerusalem was the epicenter. It would be the local church. It would be the local community that we would be responsible to serving. It would be serving within the needs of the church family and blessing one another within the house of God. But it also meant in our own backyard, our own local community, like serving and blessing people in our schools and homeless shelters and feeding programs and foster care programs and bringing foster care children into our own homes, getting involved in local Habitat for Humanity projects, you know, partnering with those that are dealing with father absenteeism, whatever it might be here locally. It's this local focus. And then you would say, well, going on to Judea. What do we mean by, why do we need to serve in Judea? Because, well, Judea was their nation. It was larger than just a local context. It was bigger than what somebody could just see locally. And so we go into Ohio, we go into West Virginia, North Carolina, we go into Louisiana, we go to Tennessee, we go into South Dakota. What do? We just go and we bless people. We put on vacation Bible schools and inner city programs. We do disaster relief. We come alongside of people who are hurting, who are the least, the last, and the lost, and we bless. And they would say, well, go on to Samaria. Well, why Samaria? Well, Samaria was the part of town that nobody wanted to go in. At least a good Jew. You know, a good Jew was told, you just don't go to Samaria. You go around it. You know, you don't drive through it. Because that's that neighborhood. That's the neighborhood on the other side of the railroad tracks. And you need to avoid that place at all costs. And so what God is doing is he's challenging us to say, where is the part of your town where most people would say that's off limits? Where's the place where most people would say you want to avoid there and don't go there? And so God is challenging us across those railroad tracks. He's challenging us to go into those neighborhoods and to be a blessing and to do all we can for us that would be in the South Zanesville area, in the lower, specifically Lower Putnam area, to come alongside of them and to partner with our missional outposts like Bethel Community Center and other ministries that are established there like Forever Dads and other things that are happening in the life of local churches, not just ours but others, and to come alongside of families and children and love on them and to get to know them and not just to do for them but to do with them. To empower and to equip and to build life relationships with them, to allow God to use us to be a blessing. He calls us to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But does it stop there? No, he adds that tagline at the end that doesn't allow us to escape any place. He says, oh, and by the way, to the ends of the earth. Because you're like, well, do we need to help those in Haiti? Do we need to help those in Guatemala? He says, yes. To the ends of the earth. Now notice it's not just hey, we need to help people in our own hometown. And it's not just, hey, people out in Haiti. It's both and. It's all of it. It's all of the above. Local, challenging neighborhoods, and out into the world, the rest of the world. And so because of that, we go into Haiti, and we help build houses there. We go into the Congo. We bless Congo. We go into Africa, and we want to bless places like the Children's Camino Home and Wings of the Morning Ministry. As a matter of fact, Gaston and his wife from the Congo and Wings of the Morning Ministry are going to be here in November. They're going to be here on a mission night on a Tuesday. I hope you get a chance to come out and meet them. They're just awesome, awesome people. That's why we get involved in Mexico or Vietnam or Guatemala or wherever it is. In Vietnam, you know, we go to help raise up pastors and to bless them and to teach them and train them. And, you know, by the way, to build their churches when God grows them. We do Operation Christmas Child. We're going to be doing that in a month. Can you believe that's coming? We fill shoeboxes and we send them out to the rest of the world to be a blessing. We are called to local and global mission. We are called to serve one another in here and out there. We're called to go everywhere. And whenever we leave out of this place, John Wesley, that founding church father, would tell us that we are now entering our mission field. Did you know that every time you leave out of this place, every time you walk out these doors, whether you go out the front doors, and I know some of you speak out these back doors right here, for the next assignment, even you are held to this call that you are now entering your mission field. Did you know that your workplace is your mission field? Did you know that the school is your mission field, wherever it is you're going to school? Did you know, now, be careful now, the roadways are your mission field? Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Did you know that everywhere you go, the grocery store, the department store, your family, your home, it is your mission field. God has anointed you, empowered you, gifted you, blessed you, and purposed you to go and to be His hands and feet, to go and to make disciples of all nations. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, here is Jesus' call for His people. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. They were going out into their mission field. He commissioned them to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go, I am sending you out. You go. Go. I'm sending you out into the world. And He's saying, the harvest is plentiful. What does that mean? The world is broken. Turn on the news. Turn on the internet. The world is broken. And what Jesus is saying is, I need you to go. I need workers in my harvest field. What's their challenge? There's just too few workers. There's just too few workers. So He's saying, would you beg me to send out more workers into the harvest field? Because the harvest is plentiful. I'm ready to bring my kingdom here on earth. I'm ready to bring heaven down to earth. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for an awakening? When we pray for God's awakening, we're praying for God to awaken our hearts and our minds to the needs around us so that God can use us to make a difference. We're being awakened to the fact that it's not just about me and my own personal family, but it's about the other people that are sitting next to me in this church, and it's about the people that are beyond these walls that I'm going to encounter. Our mission field is everywhere. God is saying, are you awake? Beg me for workers to go into the harvest field. That's what it means to go. Come connect. Grow and go. I can't think of a better, more joy-filled, and passionately awesome experience than to allow the God of the universe to use me to do His work alongside of Him and to bless every person I come in contact with. You need an amen on that one. Praise be to God. That's what He's calling us to. He's calling us to the journey. Will we journey together with God? We answer the call of God to treat every part of our life as a mission field and to be on the go. Every encounter, every person, and we have a chance to celebrate the harvest and be His workers. Let's do this journey thing together. You ready to do it? To come, connect, to grow, and to go? Because this is what we're going to be about from here on out. Rolling Plains Church is about the journey. It's all about the journey of coming, connecting, growing, and going. There are opportunities to do that, like Dreamland is coming up on Tuesday. Come on out to that seminar and hear about the opioid epidemic that is impacting not just our nation, it's impacting our hometown here. It's impacting our neighborhood. And what is the local church going to do about that? You know, come out to our next Mission in Motion event, Habitat for Humanity. There are awesome places to serve everywhere. I don't think it's too late to sign up for the Haiti mission team that's going in January. Just awesome places to go and to be involved in. So come out to End Zone on a Friday night and come and just be here with the teens and love them and just show them and share with them the love of God. Just let them see you. Just be present and watch them understand just how much you care. Here's a couple of action steps for you as we do this journey thing. Number one, join a ministry team in our church. Get involved in a ministry in our church. There's a connections brochure out on the desk out there in our lobby that gives all kinds of information. Number two, find a mission to serve in outside our church. Find a ministry in our church to serve in. Find a mission outside of our church. Everybody should have a ministry, and everybody should have a mission that we're involved in as we go in the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, pray for five people that you are going to invite. Go and tell. And just go and invite and pray for them. Pray for five people in your life that you know need the love of Jesus in their life. And you invite them to church. You invite them to the next outing we have, or the next thing, the next women's Bible study that's happening next Sunday night, or the next men's gathering. We had 15 guys show up at Tina's restaurant this morning for a men's group. And that God continues to grow. Whatever God is calling you to, take that next step. Praise be to God.